Time to Wake to Sleep with Sleep Science Today, where we learn to sleep well with your host, Andrew Kolsky, on UK Health Radio.
Welcome to Sleep Science Today, the show where we talk all about sleep and the science behind sleep. I'm your host, Andrew Kolsky, and today we're going to be talking with Lindsay Scola, who is a writer, speaker, and sleep educator. And we have some specific things we're going to get into related to narcolepsy and even how sleep and the workplace intersect. So, Lindsay, welcome. Please introduce yourself to the audience.
Hi, it is so lovely to be here. Again, my name is Lindsay, and I am just about as passionate about sleep as you can get. I did not start out that way, though. I actually thought that sleep was the end of me, of my productivity. I was one of those, you know, kids who, you know, could juggle 11 things while other people could juggle six, but it didn't mean I wasn't going to try for 12. I got sent to the principal's office for the first time for staging my first walkout when I was in first grade. And so I didn't think that I needed to sleep, but something started happening when I was 16, that I was otherwise engaged, paying attention in class, and then sleep would just hit me like a lightning bolt. And I had this feeling like, if I don't go to sleep right now, I'm going to die. And I told my doctor about this, and she told me that I was busy and busy people are tired. And that just sort of hung with me as I moved into my professional career. I was an advanced person for President Obama. We're the logistics people that go ahead and make all the events look amazing. And you know, I was surrounded by the best, the brightest, and the busiest, and I didn't see my colleagues sneaking into the bathroom to nap. And so I thought I was just really bad at being tired. It turns out 19 years after that first visit with my doctor, I was diagnosed with narcolepsy. And that day, I didn't just learn I had a sleep disorder. I learned that I knew nothing about sleep. So in order to get a handle on this thing that I was just told that I have and would have for the rest of my life, I wanted to understand how sleep works. And I found out that most of us don't know anything about sleep because we were never taught about it. You know, in school, you were taught about the food pyramid, maybe even how to balance a checkbook. But you didn't find out about this thing we spend a third of our life doing. So I set out to change that, not just to, you know, make sure that people like me who went from, you know, not thinking something was wrong with them for 19 years would have better access to sleep disorder diagnoses, but that sleep's the thing that fuels all of us. And if we understand how that works, it is deeply personal and we get to make those choices.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. There's a whole lot in there. And, you know, the main point that you're getting to there is so important. It's one of the reasons that we do this show and everything else that we do is that sleep is relatively new when it comes to people thinking about issues that impact our health, our mental health, our physical health. And I know that in the mental health area, there's really probably zero training about sleep and sleep disorders. In the physical health area, it's also probably extremely minimal that anybody, unless they're specifically studying sleep, would get any training in sleep. And I find this interesting because in conversations that I've had with people who are across the pond, we'll call it, in the UK, the UK apparently takes sleep more seriously. And when they come to basic primary care doctors and your basic checkups and things, it's one of the things they will ask about and check into. It's rare for that to happen in the US, at least in my experience and of those I've spoken to. But some people are starting to catch on. And so, you know, you mentioned your initial lack of diagnosis, I guess, and we see that a lot. People who are struggling with sleep disorders because it was never diagnosed because nobody really knew what to look for. So let's go way back to the beginning there. You said even in first grade, you were thinking that you could get along without sleeping. Why was sleep even a thing for you back then?
Well, I mean, I, you know, grew up in the 80s and 90s and, you know, was a weird political kid who was paying attention to this stuff super early. And, you know, all of the big figures out there were sleeping 4 hours a night. And so we were being programmed all the time to think that you don't need sleep. Sleep is lazy. Sleep means that you're not trying hard enough. If you're tired, that means you're doing it right. Everybody's tired. And so we were constantly being programmed with this. You know, it's one of those things that sort of bothers me about how we've moved to this mark that we're telling people that they need 8 hours, because anyone who knows about sleep will tell you that 8 hours is the top of the bell curve, that the majority of adults need between 7 and 9 hours. But some people, you know, are at 6, some people are at 10. It has nothing to do with a number. It has something to do with what feels good in your body, which means we have to talk about what sleep does for you and what healthy sleep looks and feels like. And so we're always being messaged that we're doing something wrong. And so when you're always being messaged that you're doing something wrong, it's sort of hard to think you can fix it, right? You know, every time I would go to a doctor to talk about how excessively tired I was, or the fact that, you know, what I now know are hypnopompic hallucinations, which for anyone who's unfamiliar, one of the symptoms of narcolepsy is that I have hallucinations at the end of the beginning or the end of a sleep cycle. And they can be, you know, visual, audio, sensory, a combination of all three. And you're sort of in between awake and asleep cycle, and you're seeing things that are very vivid and feel like they're real and sometimes have to be convinced that they weren't real. And so I was referring to these as night terrors. And my my doctor would tell me, you have a really stressful job. This is stress manifesting. So, you know, every time I was trying to advocate for myself, I would walk away with a sleep hygiene checklist. And all that ever registered in my mind was, here is a list of things you have to do to get the right sleep. And if you miss one of them, you're sort of doomed to be a crappy sleeper for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. And none of that actually explained why we do these things, why this is healthy for our sleep. And so we just sort of have missed this as a society in how we message sleep, how we talk about sleep and the benefits of sleep.
Yeah, there's, you know, I've had so many discussions over the last year or two with people about just how their experience going to their doctor is, and how that's changed over time, and how it's more of, they feel like it's like they got me in there and their only goal is to get me out as fast as they can. And so they give me a prescription for something and we never even talked about what my problem was. And that's a real problem if you're going to, you know, be dealing with sleep issues, because you're not going to diagnose if you haven't even asked the questions.
Well, and I mean, this is a problem on the medical system as a whole. I have really fantastic doctors. I've had fantastic doctors that were not aware of sleep disorders. You know, if you're getting less than 2 hours of sleep education in medical school, it's kind of crazy to think that you're going to know the right questions to ask. You know, I never walked into a doctor's office and said, look, I have excessive daytime sleepiness, fractured sleep, sleep paralysis, hypnagogic hallucinations. Oh, and sometimes I drop my phone when I laugh. I think it's called cataplexy. So I was never presenting myself as the perfect narcolepsy case or anything that they might have associated with that. And they didn't know the right questions to ask. Right. So, you know, this is a problem we sort of face as a whole. So you don't have the language to advocate for yourself, and you don't have the people asking you the right questions to advocate for yourself. And so you're sort of stuck in this. You know, it was 19 years of me complaining about symptoms around this till a doctor even said the word sleep specialist. I didn't know sleep specialists were a thing. Right. So I went from 16 to 35 before I even learned there was somebody who was trained in sleep and could ask me the right questions. And that doctor got to narcolepsy pretty quickly. So we're missing this piece on so many levels. And then, you know, when you take the medical side away from it, and you take the personal side, where we're still even knowing the benefits of sleep are not lost on people these days. People know that sleep is important, but we still message that getting everything else done first is more important. So you end up gaslighting yourself. You know, I didn't want this enough. I wasn't ambitious enough. My colleagues are just smarter than I am. And so, you know, any opportunity that presents itself where we could be getting help quicker, sort of gets evaporated.
Right, right. Yeah, and I mean, I think you hit on the main thing there is that, you know, this is, like I said, where the training that a lot of doctors don't get any training in sleep. So how are they going to know what question to ask or even what to be looking for? Same thing from the mental health field. If you don't have training in it, how are you supposed to know? And that's you know, there's a lot of things that go on in the schooling process and a lot of things that people have to be trained on. But unfortunately, sleep has not made it to the, you know, top of the ladder there. And so as a patient, obviously, initially, you had no idea what was going on. That's why you're going to your doctor to talk about it. How did you finally start figuring out? Was it that diagnosis you got, or was it prior to that you started doing some reading? Or tell us more about how you became educated.
So narcolepsy can really ebb and flow. I sort of hit my worst point with it when I turned 35. If I didn't have to get out of bed, I didn't. I was really starting to notice that I was taking micro naps, either while I was driving, while I was washing dishes. I would be like writing emails that would be like well-constructed sentences and then some gibberish in the middle and then keep writing again. And so I'm starting to really notice this stuff and thinking this can't be normal. I started taking a lot more secret naps in the bathroom. I got very skilled at curling up on top of a toilet seat and putting my head against the wall of the stall and taking a 15-minute nap. And I knew this couldn't be normal. You know, I was a smart, ambitious person. And yeah, there had to have been people that were smarter and better at being tired than I was, but this couldn't be normal. And in the research that I had done, only sleep disorder, I really sort of knew it all was sleep apnea. And so I started insisting that I had sleep apnea. So I got tested. I did the home test for sleep apnea. Didn't have sleep apnea. Just got a note back from the doctor's office with a sleep hygiene checklist. And I was really apoplectic. I knew that there were things on that list that I wasn't doing perfectly, but it shouldn't make a human this tired. I went home. I drank an entire bottle of red wine and ate a pint of Ben and Jerry's Cherry Garcia. And I found the end of the internet. And I came back to my doctor with this like armful of research that the at-home sleep tests had been developed by the VA as a low-cost alternative for overweight middle-aged men. I'm like, this is not me. Therefore, I must still have sleep apnea. And as I'm pretty much throwing a temper tantrum on the floor of my doctor's office at 35, she looks at me and says, we've now passed both of our education on sleep. I'll send you to a sleep specialist. It took me having a literal meltdown till I got sent this. I had had sleep tests in the past. I had been verbalizing this as an issue since I was 16. Mm-hmm. They would check my thyroid. They would, do everything else to other than say, this is possibly a sleep issue. Let's get you to a sleep specialist.
Right. Right. Wow. Well, it comes down to sort of the concept of self-advocacy now and how it's so important that we be a part of our own healthcare, not just kind of farm it out to the doctor and hope that we're going to get the right answer, because they're humans too, and they're doing their best, but they can only do what they can do. And so having access to information makes it easier for us to try and figure out at least what questions to ask and what things to talk about with our doctors.
Well, then this is something I spend a lot of time talking with people on. I think it's very important because a lot of us, I collect disorders like other people collect cool sneakers. I also have Hashimoto's hypothyroidism and celiac disease. When we've been taught to advocate for ourselves, we've occasionally been taught to self-diagnose ourselves. Often we misdiagnose ourselves when we self-diagnose. So if you go into the doctor's office and say, I have X, it's very easy for them to look at you and say, you missed that day at med school. No, you don't. So instead of finding the disorder that you think you have, go in with copious notes of this is what is going on in my life. Help me figure out why. It's a lot harder to stop the conversation or say no at that point. You're coming in with a treasure map and you need them to help you find the X.
That's great advice. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's exactly the point is. And that's why I was saying, you know what questions to bring to your doctor so that you can have that discussion and, hopefully together work it through. So let's do this. We're at a point where I need to take a commercial break. So I'm going to take a quick break and we'll be right back on Sleep Science Today.
The Sleep Science Today radio show is just the beginning. Join a community of people interested in sleep using the social media links in the description below. We offer everything from a free sleep support group to live meetup Q&A sessions and events to a Facebook group and so much more. Sleep Science Today is making sleep a participation sport. If you're not signed up, you're missing out.
The station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Dec, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle Magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, this is Andrew Kolsky with Sleep Science Today. We're back with our guest, Lindsay Scola, and we're talking about sleep disorders. We're talking about narcolepsy. We're talking about diagnosing sleep disorders. So you eventually got the diagnosis of narcolepsy, along with a couple other things that you were sharing. And what caused you to take that further? Okay, you could have simply worked with your doctor, gotten treatment, you know, moved on with your life, but you kind of dove into sleep. What led to that?
Well, my initial thought was I'm going to find the pill that makes me again, and then I'm never going to think about narcolepsy again. As many people with narcolepsy will tell you, that with narcolepsy, you don't get better. You just get better at having narcolepsy. There is no novel treatment available right now. Thankfully, they are working on them. But in the meantime, you take medication that treats symptoms, that not treating the root cause. So sometimes medications will work for a while and then they will stop, or they'll give you worse side effects than the symptoms they were treating. And I was feeling so behind in my life. And so I was taking a medication and taking out a medication and stacking another medication. And at a certain point, I didn't know what my baseline was. I didn't know what was a symptom, what was a side effect. I just needed to find my ground level again. The sort of helpful part of the pandemic for me being home was that I wasn't driving. I could take out all the narcolepsy medication, find my baseline again, and then thoughtfully start adding them back in. But I did a lot of soul searching at that point, and the rest of my career had really been in service of other people. And I couldn't, in good conscience, go on knowing that there was somebody else out there who had been struggling for 19 years, thinking this was all in their head, without being more public about this. So as I sort of, you know, thoughtfully added my medication back in and got to a better place in my own narcolepsy treatment, I started being public and talking about my diagnosis and what this meant, and, you know, trying to put information out there. But that became sort of a bigger mission for me, that, you know, narcolepsy is one in 2,000 people. But if we look at sleep disorders as a whole, it's about one in five people, and they're diagnosed at about 18%. That means there is over 50 million Americans out there that are in need of medical treatment, and no supplement off the internet or mouth tape or whatever else they're buying off TikTok is going to fix this unless they see a sleep specialist. And we don't get to the root of that unless people know what healthy sleep looks and feels like. And so that really changed my mission around that I wanted to help everyone get to healthy sleep. One in three people is undersleeping or feeling chronically sleep deprived, dealing with insomnia. I want everybody to have good sleep. I want everybody to have the permission to rest. I want everybody to know that sleep, you know, isn't the thing they do after they get everything else done. It's the thing that makes everything else possible. And so that really changed my mission around all of this. For me to get more educated about sleep, for me to get more educated about my own condition, I got my certificate in neurobiology and sleep, and, you know, really, really started placing myself as this person who understood the concepts but could speak to other people like they were human, and make these things that feel really sort of esoteric and theoretical applicable to your everyday life and how you can be making personal choices about your sleep.
Wow. Wow. That's fantastic. And it's, you know, it's good that while I realize there's a lot of disinformation and products for sale and things on TikTok and social media related to sleep, what's good about it to me is that the conversation about sleep is starting to happen, because we wouldn't have had people even talking about sleep issues, whether validly or not, but it wasn't a conversation before. Now it's becoming more of a mainstream conversation. And I see so many people who understand, okay, yeah, I want to eat right. And yes, I want to exercise, but now they realize, and I need to sleep right. So you're right in the right place at the right time. So I know that you took this message and you've been able to share it with others, meaning workplaces and other places where sleep is such an important factor. Tell us more about that part of it.
So I've really been enjoying doing corporate talks and talking to teams about why they need to be thinking about sleep as their greatest productivity tool. It is just as important as the project management software that you're pulling in, as, you know, thinking about bonus structures and everything else. If you have a well-rested team, you've got a more productive team. You've got people who are going to stay there longer. And part of that conversation is also around sleep disorders. That people understanding that, you know, if they have untreated sleep apnea, that is giving them a, you know, bigger risk for stroke and type 2 diabetes and other heart conditions. And that if we can get that sleep apnea diagnosed and treated, that all of that comes down, that they're going to enjoy work more and they're going to be more productive and they're going to have more energy for their family at the end of the day. And these conversations have just been really, really wonderful to see people really rethinking about their sleep and prioritizing sleep the same way you do meetings and your workout time and your social interactions, that sleep is going to make everything else easier.
Right. Right. Well, you know, I have a question here because I'd love to hear your explanation of this, but let me set up the question. So I've had guests on this show that actually work with very large organizations, mostly your tech, you know, type of organizations, who actually are aware of sleep disorders. They have people who help employees with sleep disorders to find out if they have it and what to do when they have it. So there are companies that are very much in tune with sleep. But then on the other side, there's plenty of companies that I've spoken to personally trying to introduce the concept that, hey, you know, you've got a workforce that is based on shift work. And did you know there's this thing called shift work sleep disorder? And did you know, all these other things related to sleep, especially if you have people that are working at night when they're normally should be sleeping. And oftentimes the response I get is eyes glazed over. And sometimes I'll even get a snarky comment such as, oh, you meet people looking for an excuse as to why they're sleeping on the job, which is kind of shocking to hear, because it's a closed mind as opposed to, you know, an open mind. But how did you get in to be able to even speak with organizations? What, you know, do they come to you? Do you go to them? Tell us how that works.
It's a combination. I get most of my business through word of mouth, of, you know, companies recommending me to friends in other locations. I think, you know, some companies are starting to get much more in tune to health, and that their employees' health and well-being is actually a key metric to their success financially. And so we are having people shift. But I think the thing that you're seeing is that for every positive thing we're seeing around the sleep conversation right now, there's still a long way to go. And I think that the companies who figure this out first are going to be far more successful than the companies who want to do things the way that they've always done it. Any study we have where, you know, truck driving companies companies that safety was dependent on sleep, who put the effort into sleep education, into sleep disorder diagnosis, really see their results skyrocket. They see retention at a much higher number. They see accidents go down at a much higher number, and they see, you know, happier, healthier employees, which is vital. So I think that the companies who are starting to recognize this is going to be a real differentiator as they're moving forward from the companies who are stuck.
Right, right. So when you go and you actually speak with a company, what is your message? Is your message one of awareness? Is your message one of here's some action steps you can take? What is the ultimate goal when you leave there?
My ultimate goal is that people have a better understanding of their personal sleep than when I walked in, and that they, one, understand the importance of it. They understand that sleep actually makes you smarter, that sleep makes you more creative, that sleep is there for your, you know, muscle recovery, for your immune system, and that they get that there is an importance to them prioritizing their sleep. Two, I really like to talk to people about sleep chronotypes and their, you know, personal schedule, that we were not all designed to wake up at 5 a.m. And no matter how many people on the internet tell you that if you just wake up at 5 a.m., you're going to be your most productive self, it's never going to happen. I am someone who wakes up after the sun. That is my natural inclination. I can wake up at 5 a.m. if I have to, but those hours between 5 a.m. and when I naturally wake up are never going to be my most productive hours. And so I want people to understand that they're designed to wake up at a certain time. They're designed to go to sleep at a certain time. Now, we don't always get our way to be able to do all of this, but knowing that you are going to have times where you are more productive and times where you are less productive really helps you prioritize your day. If you're one of those people who naturally wakes up early, you want to do your biggest strategic thinking first thing in the morning. If you're one of those people who naturally wakes up a little later, you're super creative at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, an 8 a.m. meeting is like an act of violence for you. But, you know, the 4 o'clock meeting where you're talking about, you know, creative, you know, strategic like plans, like that's going to be like your jam versus the person who's super strategic and gets their best work done at 7 o'clock in the morning. That 4 p.m. meeting is going to want to make them pluck their eyes out. Like, so it's really like understanding that not everybody is productive 24 hours a day. And you're going to get more done for yourself if you lean in to these times where you're most productive, and that you're actually not pushing yourself through the whole day, that you're giving yourself brain breaks. For a lot of people, it is really productive to take a 15-20 minute nap. And that, you know, when companies understand that, that's not like laziness or bougie. That's actually getting the most out of your employees' afternoon. And then I do talk about sleep disorders. We don't get the best out of our employees if we've got one in five people who's struggling with a sleep disorder and has no idea. And so I want people to walk away with the understanding that sleep specialists are a thing. If they are experiencing symptoms like the following, that they should see someone. I always get some comment where someone's like, wait a second. If I fall asleep the minute my head hits the pillow, that's not a good thing. Like, I thought that made me a really good sleeper. Like, no, that's either means you're sleep deprived or there's something else going on. And so it's always my goal that people are starting to think about their own sleep. When does their sleep feel good? The amount of hours they're getting, does their, do they have moments where they feel like a little dip and that they should take some time down? Do they want to start prioritizing that block for rest the same way that they do for their meetings or their workout time?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's interesting that you talk about some of the concrete steps and things that people can do, because my question, you know, specifically is this. We've got people who are listening to this show and they choose to listen to the show because they know it's about sleep, which probably means that they have some questions of their own about sleep, either for themselves or for family members. And the question that I have for you that I'm going to ask you to hold off on your answer until after our break. But the question is, if someone is listening to this show and they are thinking to themselves, you know, I might have some sleep issues because I notice at work I'm doing such and such. I'd love to know what concrete advice you have for them as to what they can do after this show is over. But before you answer that, we are going to go away for our second commercial break, and we will be right back in just a minute with Lindsay Scola on Sleep Science Today.
The Sleep Science Today radio show is just the beginning. Join a community of people interested in sleep using the social media links in the description below. We offer everything from a free sleep support group to live meetup Q&A sessions and events to a Facebook group and so much more. Sleep Science Today is making sleep a participation sport. If you're not signed up, you're missing out.
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Cappuccino, latte, Americano, flat white, macchiato.
Just imagine, for less than the price of a single cup of coffee out on the high street, you could enjoy an award-winning online magazine every month with up-to-the-minute information on health and healthy lifestyle. Sounds like a good trade-off? Check out Health Triangle Magazine on the UKHealthRadio.com website. Just sacrifice a single cup of coffee every month.
Let's all put health first.
The station that makes you feel good.
All right, we are back on Sleep Science Today. I'm your host, Andrew Kolsky. We're talking with Lindsay Scola, and we left the break with a question, which was, what do you tell people who are thinking that they may have a sleep issue and they're not sure where to even start?
So I believe in write everything down. Don't think this is my sleep. This isn't my sleep. Just write everything down. Write, you know, if you're having stomach pain after you eat certain food, right? If you're, feeling excessively tired at 4 o'clock every day, just write everything down, because that gives you a good place to start looking for your own patterns and to be able to tell a story. When you're going to the doctor. I just launched my first online course for people to be able to explore this. So my new course, Sleep is the Power Move, one, gives you the permission to rest, because some of us need to be told that it is okay. And then two, I go into finding your best schedule. Three, I help you figure out like your best evening routine. As I mentioned before, I really hate the term sleep hygiene because it feels like a list of things that you're not doing well enough. So I call it a sleep blueprint. So I talk about why we do these things and for you to think through what cues your brain likes. Our humans are based on cues, cues that we're supposed to be working, cues that we're supposed to be going to sleep. And I always talk about how, when you're not necessarily feeling hungry, but then you like smell something coming from the kitchen and you know you're ready for dinner, like that's the power of a cue. And so that's the type of thing we want to be doing for our brain at night that lets us know it's time to start wrapping up. So I walk you through building your sleep blueprint that's personal to you. I walk you through a middle of the night toolkit for when you wake up, so you know what to do and how to get back to sleep. And then I talk through the other things that are going on in your world, what sleep disorders look like, dealing with perimenopause and menopause and sleep, dealing with ADHD and sleep. And then if you have certain things that are going on in that world, if the specific symptoms that I'm talking about feel really like something that might be going on for you or a loved one, this is what sleep specialists are. This is how you prepare for an appointment. This is what you do if you do get diagnosed. And this is how you track symptoms afterwards so that you can have the best relationship with your sleep specialist going forward. And then I like to wrap it up with something I call sleep leadership. This is how you show up for work and at home, where you are prioritizing your rest and you're showing others around you that that's an okay thing to do.
Wow. Wow. It sounds pretty comprehensive from A to Z there.
I tried. It is the course that I wish I had when I was at my wit's end with my sleep.
Right. So let's get this clear. So it's called Sleep is the Power Move, right?
Yes.
And how would somebody find it?
You can find it at my website, lindsayscola.com. It's Lindsay with an A-Y. And it's called Sleep is the Power Move. And I have a special discount for anyone listening to this show. If you type in sleep science, you'll get 20% off. And it is the best investment that you can make for yourself. And as we know, we're going into the holidays, you can also purchase it for someone as a gift.
Fantastic. Thank you. And we appreciate the discount for the audience. I will make sure that we put the link to that down in the description on our podcast and in the YouTube video of this. So you should be able to find that. And of course, you could always go directly to the website and find it. So thank you for that.
Absolutely.
So, one question, I wonder if you have any comments on this, and you may not, but it's just because I was having a conversation at dinner last night with a group of people. I was at a dinner. We had about, 10 people there. And most of the people there were probably in their 60s, 70s. Okay. And the question came up, which as soon as one person asked it, it was the universal recognition. It's like, why do I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning? Every single morning I wake up at 3. How do I fix that? Is that something that you hear a lot and you get a lot?
All the time. I write a weekly newsletter called Rest Assured, and I address this a lot. And my biggest note to people is stop worrying about the wake up. We are programmed to wake up in the middle of the night. If you think back to when we were living in caves, we needed to know if the lions were coming in so we could get out. Our modern day lions are, work stress and family issues and, too much true crime TV. That sometimes, results in us waking up at night. So waking up is not the issue. Our response to the wake up is the issue. And so I love to work people through building their own toolkit of things that you can do to go back to sleep. So when we talked about those cues to get ready for bed, in the middle of the night, we need to tell our ancient self that we're safe, there's no lions, and it's okay to go back to sleep. And so sometimes that's going to look like maybe doing a body scan while you're in bed, where you like start at your toes and you like you feel your body all the way up into your legs and your trunk and your arms. Sometimes it's doing something called cognitive shuffling, where you like pick a letter and then you pick a word, A, apple, B, bear. It's not entertaining enough that it revs you up to wake up, but it sort of distracts your brain from whatever's going on. So you can go back to sleep. And then also, if you've been lying awake for like more than 10, 15 minutes, get out of bed and do something else that is, you know, low thinking. I like to clean the kitchen. I really hate cleaning. So my brain at that point is basically like, I promise I'll do anything else if you let me out of this. And then when you feel sleepy, go back to bed. And so basically, we're just showing our brain that like when it's time to rest, that our bed is a safe place and that's okay. And I also am a big fan of the brain dump at this point. Like sometimes our brain is just crazy with ideas. We got to get them out. You are not writing a memoir. There's no editing that's needed. This is mental windshield wipers. You are just trying to get it out of your head so you can deal with it later. And your brain is satisfied that there is a record of it and can go back to sleep.
Wow. Wow. So, okay. So you've shared a lot of different techniques and things there. Are these all in your Sleep is the Power Move program?
That and more.
Oh, really? Okay. Okay. So not only can they, you know, kind of figure out what might be going on, but then they can actually have specific information about what to do about it.
Absolutely. I got a lovely email this week from someone who just took the course that within a week of taking the course, if she does wake up in the middle of the night, she's back to sleep in a couple of minutes and I'm saving her thousands of dollars on supplements.
Well, that's a good thing. So then one more question about the course, because when we say course, I'm sure people are wondering, am I getting a written notebook? Are there videos? Is it a live session? What is the course exactly?
It is 30 self-guided videos. If you watch them back to back to back, it's a little over 2 hours, but I did them really short for a reason. I don't want to give you homework. I know you're busy. I know you have other things going on. Watch them. I think I'm really lovely to look at while I'm speaking, but you can also listen to them. I am a big fan of multitasking. Multitask away with us. Listen while you're washing dishes or making dinner. And then I have worksheets that go along with a lot of the concepts. So like when we're talking about putting together your sleep blueprint, there's a worksheet so that you can like be thinking through what cues your brain's going to like with suggestions on there. And it's very easy to work your way through. It's all self-guided. So you can listen to things over and over again. You can skip around. You can come back when something feels more relevant. You've got lifetime access. So it's to be able to pick and choose what's right for you. You know, it's set up like the perfect playlist for me. But I will not judge you if you bounce around or skip something or come back later. I won't know.
Well, so the good news here is that if you are listening and you are up at night having trouble falling asleep, it's a perfect time to be watching some of the videos about how to improve your sleep, right?
There you go. Multitask away.
There you go. So, all right. So, you know, a lot of the stuff in the course, it sounds like, is good sleep hygiene / sleep blueprint type of work that you're doing. You've got obviously the two biggest areas out there of sleep tend to be insomnia and, you know, the CPAPs for the sleep apnea. We started off talking about narcolepsy. So I am curious, in terms of someone who finds out that they have narcolepsy, maybe even cataplexy, what types of things are available for them?
Well, there's really good treatments available. There's a lot of good treatments that are in trials right now. You know, I am someone who thought that my future was really limited with the amount of sleep that I was needing and not understanding why. And, you know, with treatment for narcolepsy, there's no limit to my capacity. I am so grateful for having these answers and for getting the treatment that I have. So it's, you know, it's medication, it's, you know, some lifestyle things that you can do. But it's made my life 1,000 times better. And so if you do get what feels like a pretty hefty diagnosis around your sleep, do know that there is incredible help out there. There are some really amazing sleep specialists, and there's even better medication on the way. And, you know, if you are someone like me who struggles with medication, I've had to change medications many times, know that there is always something else to try. I have not been limited when I've had a medication that I've struggled with. And there are so many resources available. There's great organizations out there like Project Sleep that have really great toolkits for people with narcolepsy and idiopathic hypersomnia. And they have a great sleep apnea program. So there's lots of support out there. But the really important thing is to get those answers.
Right, right. Yeah, and you made another good point there that I want to reiterate, which is there's, you know, when it comes to sleep doctors, it's a smaller number of people if you think about nationwide compared to other types of doctors. But the sleep doctors are very knowledgeable. They're so committed to what they're doing. It's a small community, but it's a community of people who care and who are interested in learning more. And they're learning too, because we're continuing to learn more about sleep. So it's important, you know, if you are diagnosed or you believe that you have a sleep disorder, to seek out a sleep specialist, because they're the ones that are, you know, highly trained to be able to help you get to where you need to be. And then we've got additional things like your course, Sleep is the Power Move. Sounds like a fantastic place to start and to work with a lot of people. So because we are at the end of our time here, I'm going to ask you if you would once again tell us, how can they get the Sleep is a Power Move? What's the website and what is the code for the discount?
So my website is lindsayscola.com. That's Lindsay, L-I-N-D-S-A-Y, Scola, S-C-O-L-A, like cola with an S in front, .com. And there's a big pink button there for Sleep is the Power Move. And if you use the code SLEEPSCIENCE, you'll get 20% off. And do know that it is available as a gift as well.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Lindsay, for joining us and sharing all this great information. I think it's it helps a lot of people who are just trying to figure it out and wondering what's going on with their own sleep. And thank you for the work that you do across the board with all of the sleep education. It's such an important area.
Thank you so much. It was such a pleasure to be here.
Great. We're happy to have you.
Thank you for listening to Sleep Science Today and learning how to sleep better with your host, Andrew Kolsky, on UK Health Radio. For more information on how you can achieve better sleep, go to sleepsciencetoday.com. Remember, sleep science today and sleep better tonight.